Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Jamie Gruber is a multifamily investor, founder of the Multifamily and More Meetup Network, as well as the GoBundance Emerge and Ascend Mastermind, a partner in Quantum Capital, which has over $100 million in assets under management. He also is a former executive with a large insurance company who exited thanks to his investment in real estate and his personal growth and development. His passion is helping others find purpose and get unstuck from that W-2 life. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate being here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, the pleasure's all mine. Same questions. I ask everybody who comes on the show. Can you quickly tell us, where'd you start? Where are you now? How'd you get there?
From a real estate perspective, I started with accidentally owning a single family property back in upstate New York, where I'm from originally. This is sort of your pre-08 story, right? Everybody has the story that's been doing this with any length of time. Bought this house, no money down, financed it, refied it, no money into it still, and dragged all the cash I could out of it, thinking it'll double up like it always does. It'll double up. And this was upstate New York, not, you know, New York City. So prices are more, you know, $140,000, $150,000 for a house, that kind of thing. So bought the house, got a promotion with my company at the time to move to Boston in 08. And the thing I couldn't do was sell the house back in New York. So I even had a $25,000 loss on sale provision, meaning if I sold it for $25,000 less than I bought it for, my company would pay that difference and I still couldn't offload the home. So what do? You put a renter in, which is what I did. So I had a renter going well at first. That area dried up a little bit with hydraulic fracturing was big, and then it became not big in New York. So, you know, rents kind of dropped down, and I just sort of had this house that I couldn't get rid of. I was focused on my job and life in Boston, and, you know, it wasn't losing me money. It wasn't making me money. It was just kind of there. But then over time, I started to, lose fulfillment with the day job, I guess, a bit, to the point where I really went head down all in on achieving this executive level that you mentioned in my bio, which took me to Michigan. But right in that time as well, I could feel that draw towards something else. And I reread Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which I read in my early 20s, read it again, late 30s. And it made sense. It clicked at that point. So I started to look at other property, kind of where this single family was. We bought a couple of distressed duplexes and bird them, as is the popular phrase. And that was an indicator to me, like, man, it took a lot of work to buy two duplexes, same owner, distressed owner, but why not buy like 8 doors or 10 doors or 15 doors all at once? So when I moved to Michigan, I found a partner through a group I had joined that was also investing here. We together took down a 16 unit, later a 22 unit. And right now, as we record this, fall 2021, we're hopefully about to close on another 22 unit here in Michigan. So it was that sounds very fast, but very natural progression over the last 3-4 years of just sort of, I've got this house. I guess I know enough to buy a couple more. So I did. And it's like, well, that's a lot of work for 4 units. Can I buy 10 or 15 or whatever? And then once you buy the 16, it kind of becomes a little bit more clear to you the path that you can go down. And now it's led to partnering with Quantum. And as you mentioned in the bio as well, and doing some bigger stuff, hopefully. So.
Right. What does partnering with Quantum, when you say that, what does that mean to you?
Quantum Capital is an established syndication business, right? They've been buying property in high value markets, LA, Denver, Austin for many, many years, 100 million plus in assets under management, and they're ramping up, just opened a fund, ready to go. They're really good at buying distressed 20 to 45 unit, 20 to 50 unit properties in those high value markets, repositioning them and just doubling and tripling value. It's really a very unique business model. My skill in the real estate world is not that I'm a great operator. In fact, I don't want to be an operator. It's not that I'm some great underwriter. In fact, I don't want to be an underwriter. I hate underwriting. It's not that I have some great skill in real estate and I understand all repositioning strategies, or even when I walk a property, I don't know how to fix anything. I have no handy skills whatsoever. My skill in real estate is I'm a very good connector. I'm a very good networker and I'm a very good marketer. So Quantum, in seeing that, asked, hey, can you help us market and do some investor relations work with us as we start to scale and build and open this fund and kind of go from there? So that's what my partnership with Quantum is based on. I found in real estate over the last few years, sort of a broad mindset of I'm going to buy real estate. And then where is my space in real estate? And many people, I think, force themselves into an operator role or force themselves into an underwriter role. And when you get into the mindset of like, you know, kind of who, not how, and figuring out all the stuff you're not great at, but you can hire out or partner up with and get that stuff off your plate and really zero in on what you are great at in even the real estate space, even if it feels non-traditional, there's room to grow there. And that's what this partnership with Quantum is for me.
That's fabulous. I love that. Obviously, the big idea of who, not how, specializing on your zeroing in, good grief, I can't even speak today, zeroing in on your strengths, right?
Yeah.
Like doing what you're good at. I mean, that's outside of, I think, what a lot of people consider when they consider real estate. They consider all the things you just mentioned. underwriting, property analysis, walking the properties, property management. It doesn't sound like you're good at any of those things. How did you figure that process out? And then how did you position yourself to take advantage of your skill set?
Figuring it out is really, in my opinion, a byproduct of proximity. Popular saying, if you hang around a barbershop long enough, you'll get a haircut, right? But if you need that haircut and you're hanging around a church, probably not going to happen. Same thing. As an investor, aspiring investor at the very beginning, I joined the Jake and Gino community. People are familiar with them in the multifamily space. And I learned all of the tactics, and it's great, great community. I learned a ton of stuff in there, like how to underwrite, the blocking and tackling. And then my opinion, it felt like, well, that's what I've got to do. This is what investors do. And you do. You have to underwrite deals. You have to source. You have to do all that stuff. But you don't have to, is what I learned. The proximity that really got me there, that mindset, is when I joined GoBundance, which many have heard of from like the Bigger Pockets podcast, who I'm sure some of your listeners listen to as well. When I joined GoBundance, that became clear to me, like, wow, these guys don't work hard, right? I mean, they work hard, but they don't work on all the tasks hard. They work hard on vision. They work hard on making sure that what they're trying to execute gets done. But they really do leverage everything they possibly can, delegate everything they possibly can. And you don't have to be all things. In fact, you shouldn't be all things to your company. One gentleman in particular, I won't mention his name, but he's got a 9-figure net worth, $120 million, $130 million in net worth that I've talked to. He's a great guy. His number one trait he feels is his laziness. Sleeps till, middle of the day, essentially. Doesn't want to go take the test to become this or take the test to become a realtor. Doesn't want to do any of that stuff. He knows what he wants, and he lets everyone else around him do the things that are essential while he stays focused on vision and he stays focused on what his company and what his life is all about. So I learned a ton by proximity, I believe. And okay, I get that I have to understand the basics under. I have to be able to explain, hey, to an investor, this is how we're underwriting it. This is the return you're going to get, all of that stuff. I'm not saying you can just like, I don't know anything. But as far as the day-to-day work, what I learned really was that, again, that concept of who, not how. It's more about your team. It's more about who you surround yourself with than it is about you doing the job. Most of the greats, most of the people, even an Elon Musk, all of these guys, they have people around them that do the real work. Steve Jobs, I mean, legendary, right? What did he actually do, right? There's a great joke about that from my favorite comedian, Bill Burr. What did he actually do other than say, I want this? And then he hired a team of very smart people to do the work for him. So those lessons are what I've extracted from being around a lot of entrepreneurs, especially in the real estate space, that don't do it all. And they're very, very successful.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. How did you position yourself such that other people could value what it is that you bring to the table?
Yeah. The first thing that my partner and I did when we started investing in multifamily is we created like a business plan so that brokers could see what we're trying to do, property managers, all of that stuff. But the learning for us was, even though I had a couple duplexes in a single family, was brokers deal with closers, commercial closers, multifamily closers, right? They've got a short list. It ain't like your Zillow agent, right? Where you can just get in their car and drive around and look at a bunch of stuff. They got a short list of buyers. If it clears that list, they might have a bit of a bigger list of buyers next. And if it clears that list, then maybe you'll get a bite at this apple before it hits on their website and broadly, but probably not. So for us, we wanted to position ourselves at least to be adding value in the multifamily space in our community. So we started a meetup called Multifamily and More here in Michigan. And we started out with being very clear and transparent. We are not yet multifamily investors, or at least we don't have any multifamily at that point when we started this meetup in our name. But I believe that all you need to be is a chapter ahead to add value to anybody. So when we had this meetup, we knew enough, right? We had studied through the Jake and Gino community, what it takes to underwrite, what it takes to put a business plan together, all of that stuff. And a lot of people coming to this meeting were either, single family investors who were thinking about multifamily or new investors who wanted to jump right into multifamily. So we could at least add that value while being very clear and transparent that, look, we're not your 1,000-unit syndicator guru up here. That's not what you're here for. We're here to gather you together and add value to you. We'll bring in expert guests. We'll broker others' knowledge. We're not necessarily the knowledge right now, but we'll give you what we know. We were actually kind of surprised at how much of our limited knowledge was still ahead of where most of the people in the room were. So our whole brand and our positioning in the marketplace as being any level of expert in this space was our desire to add value to the community, and in doing so with a meetup group. I hope that makes sense.
100%. And I think that's a more valuable place to be than maybe you give it credit for, right? Like the people that have, billions in assets under management, they've kind of forgotten they've forgotten that day to day in the weeds, like, man, the struggle is real. And here is the struggle. Right.
Yeah.
For them, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, we took enough $500 million and then we started out a few hundred million a year and la-di-da, here we are. And you're like, yeah, there was a lot that transpired there. But the guy that's in the trenches, man, he's like, hey, by the way, look out, do this, follow what I'm doing. You know, you got very actionable present information to share. And I think that's actually more valuable.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point there. I've said this, I think, and, you know, you can't think of this in terms of, like, you know, too big a number, but generally speaking, for folks that are in the range of, you know, like zero net worth to say 5 million net worth, you probably shouldn't hang out with people that are above 10 to 15x your net worth, because it does get to be too, like, you can't relate. You can't insert yourself. There's a guy locally that has 5 billion in real estate. That's an acquaintance, you know, a friend acquaintance that I've talked to. And when we were considering, hey, should he speak to the group? It's like, he's just too far into the stratosphere, right? To speak to a bunch of people that are buying, like me, 6, 8, 10, 20, 30 unit properties. I mean, sure, we'd all derive value from him, but he's just too far out there, right? Like, better for me is somebody with 200 units, since I have soon 60, or 400 units or 600 units, right? Like, I can see myself there, but 80,000 units and 5 billion, that's just like, wow, all right, I'd love to, but that's a big leap from where I am right now. So I think you have to be a bit strategic in who you surround yourself with. And to your point, it's somebody in the clouds. It's just hard to kind of see yourself in that role right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Talk to us about launching the mastermind. What was that like? What was the receptivity, you know, to bringing guests in, things like that? Just kind of walk us through that process as a whole, because I know that's a lot of on the front of a lot of people's minds.
Yeah. You talk about the multifamily and more meetup, correct?
Meetup. That's it. Yes.
Give me. Beautiful. So yeah, the mastermind emerges then. That's kind of different. But in launching it, it was honestly, and I don't know, I think this is a mantra of the high achiever or a mantra of the successful. And that is, they go by a formula of ready, fire, aim. There's a lot of people out there that are going to aim themselves to, like, I got to make sure everything is perfect before I take that action. But really, at least for me, I need to do it, maybe fall on my face and feel what it is before I really think I'm doing anything with it. So for us, it was as simple as meetup.com, pick a venue, which we had a friend with an office that gave us their conference center, and then just say, hey, we're going to do this. And 15 people showed up. You know, we tried to add value. And, you know, first two, three meetups, it was like too content heavy, not enough networking. So, like, you know, a good point. Let's kill the content part. We're going to go to a restaurant with a room on it, right? And we'll do all networking. And we did that for a couple of months. And that was like, all right, I don't know how much we can just kind of get together and talk. So we finally settled into sort of a balance between the two. So I think the answer to the question is simply this: take action, start the meetup. And look, if people that are interested, we do kind of syndicate this meetup, if you will. Like, we've got 20 chapters. You can go to multifamilyandmore.com and fill out a request to become a chapter leader in your market. If we don't have one there, we've got a whole process we can give to you and get you started in your market. But it really is a matter of just saying, I want to add value first and foremost. You got to lead with that. We went in with what can we get? To do it over again, now that what we teach and we give to our new chapters is, go in with what can you give first. Find a venue, put it out there on meetup.com, see who shows up. And if 5 people show up or 100 people show up, give all you can to those folks, and then just refine and tweak and seek feedback and kind of create the community together. Co-create it with your members, I would say, is the best thing. I wouldn't overthink it.
Yeah, that's true. I think, yeah, you've hit on a lot of really good points, which is to just do it, you know, get it started. I mean, after, gosh, we've recorded probably 320 episodes at this point, that's been the one thing that's come back over and over and over, which is just start, right?
Ready, fire, aim. Again, there is a ready there. Some people are like, oh, you're just being irresponsible. Like, no, I'm not saying you just, like, meet up. Oh, yeah, like, some ready, right? But the aim part is where I think people get lost a lot. They just kind of stay there. And, you know, I've said this on the Bigger Pockets podcast. They ask that question at the end where they say, what's one thing people that don't get started or give up or whatever. And my answer was, they listen to every episode of this podcast, I mean, this one or the Bigger Pockets podcast. They write down a checklist of 140 things that every investor they heard says, oh, I made this mistake. And then they equally weight all of them with every deal they look at. So as simple as yeah, flat roofs or whatever, like, oh, flat roofs, no, can't buy this deal. Like, they just give themselves an out list of 140 things, when really, like being a parent, you don't know what it is until you experience it, right? You've got to buy a property. You've got to invest. So there is a point at which you've got to say, numbers look pretty good. Makes sense to me. I feel educated enough. I've talked to a few people. They say, yeah, it looks like a decent deal. Buy it. Move on. There's going to be mistakes. There's going to be problems. That's the fire part. You can aim afterward. In fact, you have to. My first property, I didn't plan to be a landlord. And I allowed the tenant to double up the next month's rent instead of paying this month. Yeah, I did all that stuff, right? I lost money. I didn't realize zoning commissions cared about flaking paint on houses. And all of a sudden, there's a $5,000 bill to paint. They're like, I learned all of that stuff by having a deal, just like you learn all of that stuff by having a kid. I don't think you can really scale or grow a real estate business until you do that first deal, meaning you have to cut your teeth. You have to be okay with the fact that you're going to make mistakes, might even lose money. Not saying it's inevitable, but it's very possible, and you got to just kind of roll forward with it.
That applies whether you already have been in the single family space for a while and you're growing to bigger assets, or you've never done anything and you're going to your first single family house. I mean,
100%.
There's always that ready, fire, aim. And I think that's just a continuous iterative process that you go, okay, you know, ready, fire, aim. Okay, I learned those lessons. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Let's talk a little bit about your positioning. I kind of liked that thought where you said, hey, I'm only a step ahead of you. What does that mean to you when you position yourself in that kind of way to other people? And I mean, just talk to us about that for a minute.
I think a currency that's undervalued in the space of influence is vulnerability and relatability. Too many people, and I see this all the time, and I try not to do this, but if they have a social media following or they have a meetup or whatever, when they get on to talk about a lesson, they're doing it like what they see Gary Vee does or what they see whomever, right? Some big influencer do, which is sort of talking at their audience with the lessons that they want to teach. And that's fine. That works for some people. For me, I'd rather filter that lesson through what I've learned by me and speak in terms of me as opposed to all of you. Now, I might, of course, bring it to you like, hey, look, this is what I learned. This is what I would say to all of you. Here's the lesson. Take it. But it's filtered through my experience as opposed to some, I don't know, rah, rah, I found this quote and I'm going to just kind of jam it down your throat. This is what that means. Go out. And that's just me. So I think the positioning of being vulnerable, meaning sharing the highs and the lows, and somebody who is relatable in terms of, okay, yeah, this is him talking about his life and what he's doing. And then I can extract that lesson or I'll get the lesson at the end. Like that's what I value more, I think. So from a positioning standpoint, I think leaning into vulnerability, not as a tactic, but as an authentic sort of part of who I am and letting that come through and leaning into that relatable piece or allowing that to make me relatable to people because I am. On paper, when we close, we'll be at 62 units. And that sounds wow, but I'm partnered. That doesn't mean I have 62 units of cash flow. Some people do. Some people have 60, 80, 100 units that they own. It's all theirs. I got partners. That gets chopped down, right? Like I bought a building and step by step, it was, okay, somebody brought the deal. We made an offer. It was accepted. We got financing. We bought an insurance policy and we closed. It's like, okay, that happened. We did it again and we did it again. It's not special. It does sound though like, oh, 60 units. What can I learn? As much as you can, I guess. But from my perspective, there's a lot of still lessons and mistakes and things that I can utilize from my experience to share with others. And that's how I try to position myself.
Yeah, that's to just be yourselves. Be yourselves idea. And authenticity, I think, begets authenticity. When people see that, they come back and honor that with their own authenticity with you.
Yeah. And I think even for me too, I don't know, I feel like, because I inevitably will, I'm human. When I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth or if my audio isn't matching my video on a specific thing, like, I don't know, there's some credibility or an out I get with that. I don't know if that makes any sense, but you know, I'm not going to be held to like this perfect standard because all I put out is perfection. It's like, I'm flawed. I'm doing like now I'm killing it. And man, you know what? This is why I'm killing it. I'm confident in that. But over here, I'm not. I think that just gives you credibility with people. It gives you a sense of, you know, I don't have to be on or perfect all the time. And that for me is like relieving. I don't want that burden.
Right, right. 100%. 100%. I love that. When you look ahead and you see the runway for Jamie Gruber, your partnership with Quantum Capital, what do you want that to look like?
Like I said, I found my niche in this space of marketing and branding and everything else in the real estate space, networking, community. That's what I love, right? So what I love about real estate is what it does. It provides me and anybody that invests in it with cash flow. It provides me and anybody investing it with tax breaks. It provides us with equity and, you know, net worth appreciation, you know, just owning assets, especially in this world with inflation, assets go up and the rich that own assets, people that own assets get rich, right? So all of that is great with real estate. But again, my space there that I love is I like to be able to bring people into that journey so that they can benefit from being an investor and learning and growing in the real estate space. But where I want to grow, where I really want to spend my time, my active time is with influence, with inspiration, with motivations, with teachings. Like that's where I love spending my time. I love teaching others and helping others and guiding others in a group or whatever it might be so that they can do something like go invest in real estate. They can get their mindset right on, okay, I can do this. I can put money into this. I can invest in real estate. So my partnership with Quantum for me and what I want to do going forward, I love spending my active time creating content, coaching in a group setting, developing the Emerge and Ascend Mastermind and helping people learn how to set goals and achieve a vision and all of that stuff. And with that influence is where I'd love for people to say, okay, I like this guy. I like what he's bringing to the table. And with that faith and trust, you know, direct them over to a Quantum who I have a ton of faith in. I'm investing money with them and obviously I'm partnering with them so that people can realize the benefits of a seasoned syndicator like Mark Henteman, who runs that group, bringing returns and bringing, you know, equity multiples to people that can build their net worth, build their cash flow and kind of grow, you know, to the point of being financially free. So actively, I want to influence and teach so that passively mine and everybody around me's real estate portfolio and wealth can grow.
I love what real estate does, to quote you. And I think there's a lot of people like that. We love what it does. We're not necessarily fascinated with real estate per se. It's a vehicle, right? I love that vision that you cast for that, because so many of us get caught up in the, well, do I mastermind? Do I influence? Do I raise capital? Then how do I keep doing this? But for you, it's getting really hyper-focused on your niche, staying there, and then just bringing people along for the journey.
Yeah, 100%. And I really believe, you know, you talk a lot, I know, about tactics and like the steps. I mean, there's a lot of them, right? And this is the thing. Everybody knows, I think, that's listening to this podcast or has a good idea of like what the steps are, right? Like, you know, how to find a deal, how to market for a deal, how to make an offer. I mean, you can go into the multifamily and more group and get, you know, people to give you sample LOIs, letters of intent to make offers on property or whatever the case may be, right? Like that's all available out there. So it ain't that. Like you can read tons of books about the steps to investing in real estate. It all comes down to your mind. And to me, everything changed for me when I took my money that I saw as only an investment being something tangible like a property, and I invested it in community. When I started doing that, both building one and being a part of one, being in proximity to those people is tactic A, I think, to getting down whatever path. You want to be a chef, go be around chefs. I wanted to be an executive. I took jobs at my company before I left to be around executives, because then I'm viewed as, positioned as being that executive. I want to be a multifamily investor. I created a multifamily group and got around multifamily investors. I want to be, you know, a successful business person, successful entrepreneur. I surrounded myself with entrepreneurs and I'm not successful there yet, I don't think, but I'm growing and learning and developing in that space because I have this proximity. So I think that's tactic A. Step number one is people have to understand in this day and age, there's such value and equity in community, and it's so easy to find them anymore because we're all connected. Find the community that serves you best. And I say plunk cash down for it as well. I do. I spend 25 grand a year on different communities because I get such a multiple of return off of that, more than I could even quantify. I know that sounds like a sale job of some sort, but it's not. I'm just saying you need to invest in you. Go Google anybody at any level of success. They invest money in themselves. And you have to do that so that you give yourself reasons to engage and reasons to be around the right people and be a little bit uncomfortable maybe being there.
That's awesome, man. Well said. I just finished an interview with somebody that's many, many decades ahead of us in his real estate investing career. And we had that same exact conversation. I'm like, why in the world do you still have a mentor? You're decades ahead of me.
Yeah.
He's like, well, for all the reasons you just mentioned. And it's like, gosh, okay. Well, that just makes all the sense in the world. Jamie, before we jump here into the final four, which I've thoroughly enjoyed this episode, you've given us all sorts of things to think about and just really some practical steps as well. Any last thoughts that you have for our listeners before the final four questions?
No, I think the big things I would say, you know, ready, fire, aim. And, you know, again, I think the triad of steps is really to get intentional, to get educated, and then you have to take action. I mean, that's at the end of the day, all the ideas. I've heard a really successful guy once say, like, ideas are worthless. It's about execution. Share your ideas. Don't be afraid somebody's going to steal it, right? Like, ideas are worthless. It's about execution. You have the greatest ideas in the world, but if you don't execute, if you don't take action, they're worthless. So be intentional, get educated, and then take action, I would say.
Awesome. Jamie, final four questions are this. The first one is, if I gave you just $20,000 to invest in real estate, assuming you had no previous real estate investing experience, what would you do with it and why?
Honestly, I would invest in a community of people that could teach me, I could learn from, grow with, and I would be able to raise capital from them as I build credibility in that organization.
Fabulous. Question number two, if you could help our listeners avoid just one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
I'll get real tactical on this one. Put a camera down every sewer line. I made that mistake. And thankfully, I do that every time now, but that can be an expensive mistake to make.
Oh gosh, that can be a very expensive mistake. If you're listening, he probably just saved you tens upon tens of thousands of dollars.
A lot of money. They spend the $100, $200, whatever it is. Yeah, for sure.
Right. Man, hard-earned lessons. I love the practicality there. Question number three, when it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Emerge and Ascend is really my space. Emerge is a 12-week goal-setting course, and we I mean, we're seeing transformation in that group. I mean, it's beyond what I thought it could be when we created it. But that to me is how is my contribution to the world is people that are driven, future millionaires, really want to get kind of off the kind of breakthrough. They're stuck. They don't have a community of people around them that they can relate to at this point because they have this big drive and ambition in life. That Emerge program in particular has been transformational for so many people. I've got a wall of handwritten letters behind the camera here from people who have just scaled and grown as a result. So that's my contribution.
I love it, man. Fabulous. Last question. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, learn more about you, how do they do that?
Yeah. The best place right now, I'm talking a lot about like those that want to leave their W-2 on Instagram. It's at The Jamie Gruber. The Jamie Gruber is the handle. Follow me there. And for those of you that have any interest in learning more about something like Emerge, go abundance.com/emerge. You can use my name, Jamie, as a code for $200 off that program.
That's awesome. And Jamie Gruber, that's JamieGruber. If you are listening, I know there's probably 100 ways to spell Jamie and Gruber. So again, that's JamieGruber. Jamie, thank you so much for your time today. Do appreciate it.
Sam, I appreciate you. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.